In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Queen of Virgins, Saint Joseph, Saint Angela Merici, our patron saints and guardian angels. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Angela Merici, who we celebrate today in the church's liturgy, is the foundress of the Ursuline Sisters. And they were one of the first active communities of sisters in the church. St. Angela lived around the 1500s, and before her time, most women's vocations were just contemplative nuns, cloistered nuns. But as we see the Holy Spirit working in the church, started to inspire young women and to start doing works of charity and coming together as communities. And Angela Merici started to gather young women around her, and her principal interest was the formation of young women. She thought and knew, God inspired her, that future wives and mothers needed to be educated in Christian virtue and Christian principles, and maybe she was ahead of her time in many ways. It says that the way a society treats its women, or the way it upholds its women, is a sign of whether that society is in good shape or not. Because women are really they're the heart of the family and really the nurturer and educator of children. And so really you can see where if a society values women and upholds them in a high degree, then that society will be a healthy society. We can see the terrible destruction of our society that has come just because of feminism and its unhealthy view and unhealthy view of women and how it has affected our society. You know, feminism has its roots in the philosophy of Jean-Paul Sartre, who was a Frenchman who was an atheist for all purposes, and his idea of women wasn't very much, since he had a mistress and he was never married this lady. And so we can see this whole philosophy was carried out in his life, and this is the kind of philosophy and the man who was behind feminism. And it's strange that women would want to follow a philosophy that comes from such a source. But, you know, in many cases, people don't really look to see where things come from and who are behind them. They just have itchy ears and they think these things sound good, and they go after them. And those who appreciate the true teaching of the church and its understanding of womanhood, as Pope John Paul II was able to so well express in our time as a counteraction to feminism, is his in his apostolic letter on the Christian, the dignity and duty or vocation of women. It was really a great presentation of Christian principles about what is true Christian femininity. And in her time, St. Angela Merici realized that if families were going to be strong and good, then women needed to be educated in Christian virtue and in those things which would make them good mothers and wives. So we need to see that, you know, when Vatican II came out, it said that all religious communities should go back to the pristine roots of their charism. And maybe if the Ursuline sisters had maybe taken a harking back to that original intention of their founders, they may have made an impact on society by educating the women of our day and the true understanding of their great dignity as women and understanding it in light of the Christian faith. We always can pray and hope that many others today will be inspired to see the importance of good formation of young people, but especially of women in their understanding of their vocation and their femininity. Today in the gospel also we see our Lord is confronted by the Pharisees and they say that he has a devil in him. Here our Lord is working all these miracles, even drives out demons, and the Pharisees are so blinded and so filled with themselves that they cannot even, might say, call a spade, you might say, can't even see the right thing. They see our Lord working miracles and they attribute it to the devil. And our Lord says to them, you know, how can Satan drive out Satan? You know, if I'm doing these things against the devil and I'm possessed by the devil, then the devil is in pretty confused person. You know, he's divided against himself. But our Lord is seeing that the real problem with the Pharisees, and it's the end of this gospel, which many people sometimes don't understand and they mistake this passage. He says, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an everlasting sin, for they had said he has an unclean spirit. What is the sin against the Holy Spirit? It is attributing good to evil and evil to good. To call our Lord working his miracles and seeing his goodness and attributing it to the devil is sinning against the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth, to be able to recognize things for what they are. And if you say that our Lord is evil or doing evil things and he is the Son of God, you definitely have a block there somewhere that is preventing you from seeing goodness, which you're meant to see, which you are made to recognize truth and goodness by nature. And so the Pharisees are so blinded and are sinning against the Holy Spirit. And it's unforgivable. Why? Because when you attribute it good to evil and evil to good, it's so unnatural, you might say, that you're sinning against the very nature of your intellect and will. It's not that God can't forgive you, it's that you will never ask for forgiveness. You know, if you're attributing evil to God, who's all mercy, will you ever go to God and ask him for mercy or forgiveness if you think he's evil? So it's not that God can't forgive you, it's that you will never ask for forgiveness because you're attributing evil to good. If a person, and you look at our society today, and you see all the things that we're doing where we're doing this very thing, sinning against the Holy Spirit, we're calling same-sex unions good, sodomy is good, and traditional marriage is bad. You know, there's something, it's not that God won't forgive you, it's like you've put your world upside down, you're standing on your head, and you're trying to walk. It's that you put an obstacle there, not that God can't forgive you. You'll never look to God for the truth if you keep calling these things which are evil, good. If you call abortion health care, you're never going to see the light until you finally say, wait a minute here, this does not seem to correspond to the truth of reality. And so it takes a great grace for someone who's sinning against the Holy Spirit to convert. Another place our Lord talks about this sin against the Holy Spirit, and it's in the context of those who are insulting him through his mother when they say, isn't his father, you know, this or that? And they seem to be making a hint about the origins of our Lord and that there must be something unsavory about it. And our Lord also makes another point about them, that they're sinning against the Holy Spirit. Father Peter says that in one sense, he mentions about this, that to attack Our Lady and to attack her dignity and the Mother of God, in one sense, is also a sin which is almost like sinning against the Holy Spirit, because if you're attributing or you're insulting Our Lady, who is all mercy, all loving, and God has given her such an appeal to people to come to her. Well, it's the same thing. It's not that you won't be forgiven, it's that you won't run to the source of mercy or to the Mother of Mercy. And maybe that's why Our Lady at Fatima said that God asked for reparation against sins against Our Lady, against the Immaculate Heart. All these people who are, you know, deriding Our Lady, her different privileges and virtues, will they ever turn to her and seek her help when she's the one that God has given to us to be the source of bringing us to Christ? You know, when our Lord said from the cross, "Behold your mother," and all the people who are insulting her, will they be given the grace to go to her? Or will they be even inspired to go to her if they insult the Mother of God? So that's why it also has a certain context of being a sin against the Holy Spirit, because she's his spouse. And if they are deriding the Mother of God, and we know that Our Lady always has a special role to play in the refuge of sinners, that will they turn to her if they've been blaspheming her? It takes special grace, and only that grace, I think, can be given to them by Our Lady. And maybe that's why Our Lady at Fatima asked us to make reparation for those sins, so that these hardened souls would get the grace to turn to God and turn to Our Lady and receive forgiveness. Let us pray in a special way today, for it seems that sins against the Holy Spirit are becoming institutionalized in our country and in our Western world, and we need to pray that the blindness of mankind be lifted, because it's not just a supernatural problem, it's a natural problem. We're not even talking about, you know, supernatural revelation. We're talking about nature. We haven't even got it straight naturally when we call something which is an offense to God marriage, and when we call killing a baby, we call that health care. There is definitely something very wrong in its foundations, in our very fabric of our nation and our country. And we need to pray and ask that we be given the grace to help others come out of this blindness. Or as Father John Harden says, they're possessed. That our whole Western world is in need of an exorcism. And only Our Lady can do that. Only she has that grace and power to drive out such a big devil. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.